within the framework of a question, which has a big advantage pedagogically, because somebody who asks a question is somebody who's curious. It is somebody who's interested. And the teaching is always better if the crowd is not passive, sits down like this and looks at the teacher, but they're active, they participate in the group, they're able to contribute. And I put a lot of effort into that in class over here. I don't know how successful I am, but the joke's a part of that too. It's to raise attention, it's to make people part of the table. And Manishtana as a framework is rooted in understanding that that's the best way to tell a story, to transfer over an experience to the next generation. Manishtana has another assumption, that is also a pedagogical one, that perhaps this night should be a little strange. Manishtana is very clearly rooted, it links to a Talmudic concept, which I'm sure you all are familiar with. Kedei sheyakiru atinokot v'yishalu. We, in the Seder night, we want to make some performances in order to raise the curiosity of the children. The children should be curious and ask questions. But when we will look at the Talmudic source for that concept, we will see that it's not too clear what happened there, and why are we so interested in making the Seder night into a strange night. The concept of Kedei sheyakiru atinokot appears in the Gemara in Pesachim, it's surprisingly the first source on our page, from line 3 on, where the Gemara starts with the following statement: Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, Matza lifnei kol echad ve'echad, Maro lifnei kol echad ve'echad, Charoset lifnei kol echad ve'echad, ve'en okrim et ha'shulchan ela lifnei mi she'omer ha'agada. I'll explain what Rav Shimi Barashi is saying. In our times, we sit with a central table, which all of us are seated around the table. But in the times of Chazal, we will see it later on, more explicitly, they used to eat baseva, which was not to try to lie down on a chair the way we do, but it was lying on couches comfortably, and each person had his own private table, like a tray, and like the trays in the cafeteria. Remember your days in college? When you went to the cafeteria, you had a tray, and you loaded on your tray. Each one has his own table. And in the Gemara discusses where do you have to put the matzah, the maror, the chaloset, and if they need okrim et ha-shulchan, whose table do you take away after the nezigah of the kol sheni, before manishtana. And the Gemara here introduces a concept which I want to point out, draw our attention to, that you have on the one hand of the Seder table called Echad Ve'echad. On the other hand, at the Seder table we have Mi She'omer Ha'agadah. But this is not only a certain person at the table, it's a halachic concept. Today we call it the Orech HaSeder. The Rambam calls them HaKoreh, Mishneh Torah and Chot Chametzu Matzah. And that is rooted too in the foundation of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim through question and answer. The Mi She'omer HaGadah is the father answering the questions. He is the person leading the Seder. He is the person in charge of the content of the Seder. He is that the questions are forwarded to, and he's the one who's supposed to answer them. And the Gemara here deals about the involvement of Matzah, Maror, Charoset, Akirat HaShulchan is in front of everybody, only himself. And the Gemara asks, I skipped 2 lines, Lama okrim et ha-shulchan? I mean, why do that? And the Gemara says, Ama yedaber ha-binyanai, kdei sheyakiru tinokot v'yishalu. And in order to understand this, I think we have to explain better to ourselves, what is the impact, what is the effect of akirat ha-shulchan? You have to realize, taking away somebody's tray is declaring the meal is over. That's it. No more table. Today, we do the Akirat HaShulchan through taking away the Seder plate. I don't know how many children notice that. What impact does it make upon themselves? But if we would want, since I'm not the Orech HaSeder, I'm going to my parents, so it's not my choice, but I do have this Yetzirah to do it 1 year. If we would want to make the equivalent impact upon our children, we should clear off the table. Meaning, you mosaic kol sheni, you did make kiddush, then you ate that little karpas, we'll talk about it later. Now what do you guys take for karpas? potato,
celery.
Celery. My grandmother took horseradish, you know, real, you know, filling, you know. And then you mosaic kosher, and what do you do to the table? You clear it off. Believe me, all our children will jump up and say, what's going on over here? And that's what happened to a child in the time of the Gemara. His name is Abaye, who also was once a child. He wasn't born Abaye, the big rabbi. He was born a little child. And Abaye sits at the table. Abaye, the Gemara says, Abayatim kameh de rabba. He sat at Rabba's table. The reason is that Abaye was an orphan. Abaye, as I was told, is Rashi Tevot, Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom. He was raised by Rabba. He's an adopted child. And Abaye sits at his table. Chaza de kamadle taka mi kameh. He saw them taking away the table. And Abaye had the, I would say, instinctive response, Amalu, Adai laka achlina. Where's the meal today? I mean, clearing, akirat ha-shulchan means clearing off the table, the clearing, the meal is over. It's ended. Dessert and to bed, if you're a little child. Atu, kamakri takami kaman. Why are you declaring the end of the meal? There was no food. And the Gemara says that Rabba, he gained a few pounds, you know, he had, well, nachat, amalu, Rabba, amale, Rabba. That's it. It's a great achievement. But this is the story, which is the source. This is the foundation of this concept of Shakira Tinokot V'Yishalu. We see very clearly how Rabba at his seder table changed something from the regular meal, something which is strange, which made no sense. And Abaye responded. But what's not too clear is, Why does Rabba have so much nacha that Abaye says, I want to eat dinner? And why was he so happy about that? Why do we want our children to say, I'm hungry? That's what Abaye really said. Listen to it. Adai laka achlina. I mean, Abaye didn't say, no kabbalat ha'ari, no, you know, nice word from kindergarten he brought from his ganenet, not something he brought from first grade. All he did was say, I'm hungry. So why was Rabba so full of yiddish and nachas? And this question bothered Rishonim. And two groups of Rishonim here portrayed two different, pictures of a possible way to run a seder table. One of them is Balei HaTosfot here. The other is the Rambam. I would add that since we are taught by Chazal, there's no one right way to run a seder table. Each person who runs a seder table should ask himself, who are my children, what are their needs, who am I, and therefore, I don't think we have to choose. But Tosfot, on the spot, they were bothered by this. Why is Rabba so happy that Abaye, all he said is, all he has to say is, Pesach night is, I'm hungry. So Tosfot would say the following, Klomar, Umitochka, that's the next source, Yavo Lishael Bishal Dvarim, meaning, you start the conversation through taking away the table through his stomach. It's one of the best ways to get to a man, you know that. Yitzhak Avinu, if we're not embarrassed by Yitzhak Avinu, said, a good meal makes me a good mood. It's true by all of us, it's true by our children for sure, only they don't hide it. We're a little embarrassed of it. But our children, I know my children, when they're fighting, instead of looking for who's the guilt and punishing him, I make sure they eat. Then they stop fighting, usually because they're hungry. They sit in front of the computer or not, they forget to eat. No, they're children. And Tosso would say, you start talking to him from what he understands. But what do we try to do to our children? We try to bring them to a higher point. We try to bring them to higher content. And Tosso would continue, Baba Meshe Sha'a Lama Anu Okrim HaShulchan. That alone is not sufficient. Lo Yipatel Miman Ishtana. It was a continuation to the story, but the Gemara didn't tell us what the continuation was. Now, what is the possible continuation? Tosfot revealed the secret in a different place, Kuf Yudalet Amud Aleph. That's the next source. Over there, Tosfot describe how they, in their imagination, can see the Seder table. Fisha Kua Shulchan, they say. They're back to the Gemara I quoted before. Then they say the following. Now what did the Bain ask? Remember? Where's the meal? What would the father answer him? Don't worry. It's a great, 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 great menu today. You know what we have for the main meal today? we have matzah, you know, it was real delicious, you know, matzah. We have maror. Adayin yaviu shulchan lasot tibul, she tibul she is maror. V'aben yishal, lamanu netavli, shtei pamim. So Tosfot, what they have in their eyes are that we want to encourage the child what to ask. Eventually, we want the child to ask about matzah maror. But since we realize that asking about matzah maror is perhaps above what really interests him, it's not really part of his intrinsic world, so we go to something which interests children. We go to his stomach, and through that, we converse, we talk to him, we discuss with him the meal, and eventually we bring him to pinpoint the center of the Seder is to explain to him why this is a different meal, what is matzah maror all about. That's the way Tosfot portrayed the Seder table. I can tell you that most of us have a different solution. How do we make sure our children will ask such a question as Manish Tana? I said at the beginning of this year, we practice before, meaning we make sure that he's told what to ask. We don't wait for the Seder night for it to be, live. We make sure before to record him. And I think it's something very important to prepare for Pesach. Today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Shoalim b'Dorshim b'Chod HaPesach, Shtei Shabbatot b'Fin HaPesach is from today, and it's very important. On the other hand, if all we do is prepare before and not make sure there's something authentic which he gets through the evening itself, we're missing something. And part of the anticipation of the children for the Seder night is because they prepared something. He's loaded with the Dvar Torah. He wants to say the Manish Tana. It's very important to encourage them to prepare. On the other hand, Tosfot here tell us there is some importance for it to happen. The Seder night itself should be new to him too. Parts of it, elements of it. But the Rambam wasn't satisfied with this description. And he gives a totally different description of what he thinks happened at Abaya's table. The Rambam, first of all, takes the concept of Kdeshi Shalu Atinokot, and he formulates it, he phrases it as a halachic obligation. Rambam says it's from line 20, Mitzvah lo'odia lavanim va'afilu lo sha'alu shenema v'igata lebincha. And here, basically what he's raising is one of the major, I would say, challenges I have as a parent, perhaps you have too, you had to, that is how to bring the children to the table. I have that challenge every Shabbat, not too successful. The couch is much more comfortable and the newspaper is more interesting than my conversation. What can I do? I can't compete with the newspaper. No matter which newspaper we buy, it's always better than what I have to say. You know, Nechama Leibovitch, who I think was one of the greatest teachers of our generation, once said, the best class I ever taught was never better than a Shiur Chofshi. I mean, it's hard to compete. And the challenge to make the Shabbat table attractive, they want to be part of the conversation, is a major challenge. And the Seder table is a challenge too. How do we make our children interested, curious? And this challenge, the Rambam says, the concept of Lishyakiva Tinokot Vishalu, it's not aimed to bring them to a certain question, it's aimed towards creating a certain atmosphere. Him wanting to stay on. It's interesting. I can tell you at my Shabbat table, it never goes because I planned it. But if suddenly the conversation is interesting, if the child, usually adolescent, is curious what is going on, he stays. What we have to do, the Rambam says, Kishakira Tinokot does not lead him to the right question. It's just to make sure that he stays by the table, that he's curious. And the Rambam says the following. V'tzarich la'asot shinui. I'm skipping to the next table. Balayla azeh. To next halacha, line 26. Kdei shiyiru abanim v'yishalu v'yomru ma nishtana laila azeh mikol elot. Who's going to ask ma nishtana? The banim, but they will not ask the questions of ma nishtana. What is the only thing they'll have to say? Ma nishtana. That's all. Meaning they'll become curious. And here we have a reflection of a very fundamental machloket between Tosfot and the Rambam. Who says the questions of ma nishtana? If you notice before, the Tosfot say that what we want is the child to ask about matzal maror. Eventually, we want him to ask the questions of the Manish Tana, and the Ganenet that I described before does the same thing. She wants the children to say matzal maror. But in the Rambam, in Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, Perek Chet Halacha Bet, it's very clear that Manishtana is not said by the child, Manishtana is said by the Kohen. Rambam says, you can see, in Halacha Bet, it's line 34, V'chakach Okrin HaShulchan Milifnei Korei HaAgadah Levado U'mozgin HaKos HaSheni V'chan HaBen Shoel. What does he ask? Whatever he has on his mind. Don't tell him what to ask. I was last week at some bat mitzvah day. I had another daughter having a bat mitzvah, and they met some very famous Torah personality, and she told them what to dream. Dream to be this and that. I told her later, on the side, I think it's better to teach them to dream. Don't tell them what to dream. Give them the power to dream. Give them the imagination. Rambam says, don't tell him what to ask. Let him ask whatever he wants. But I'm saying the real challenge is to make him ask. Many times it doesn't interest him. And make him ask. But if the child should say, chametz, matzah, mor. I don't know how old this child is, but it's beyond perhaps his understanding. Just make sure that he asks, and then who will explain to him what's really special about this night? You. V'omer ha-korek. Manishtana laila ze mikol lelot. And the truth is, it's evident that that's so also in the story about Rabba. Because if you go back to the story, what did Rabba say? Amalu Rabba, line 11, Taltan. Taltan is Patalta or Tanu. Meaning, who was supposed to say Manishtana? Rabba. And since Abaye asked, what's going on? So what did Rabba say? I don't have to ask Manishtana. And in the Mishnah, it would seem so too. We'll see the Mishnah shortly. Shutam Shadrim, the Mishnah says, Mazgul Kos Sheini V'chana Ben Shoel. What does he ask? Whatever he wants. But you have to teach him what to ask. He made Da'at Babay. He doesn't know what to ask. Aviv Melamdo, Manishtana, Manishtana. And the Rambam start is said by the father. The child is not told what to ask. We don't train him before. We don't try to lead him to that. We just want to make him curious. And Manishtana is said by us. If he doesn't have the power, the ability, the intelligence to realize that. I can tell you that the Seder Tel Rav Chaim Mibrisk, he would say Manishtana. Because Rambam says the Manishtana is said by the Koreh. My grandfather, Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as a good brisker, did both. So the youngest child would say Manishtana, and he would say Manishtana. And my father's house, everybody says Manishtana. Which the Mekayim, very clearly, the Halacha, Imein Dat, Imein Lo Bein, eventually Shoel Atzmo. Everybody's a child. But this is, the Rambam doesn't portray the Seder table telling him what to ask, making him curious. And the Rambam continues, and he's teaching us how to raise curiosity. And he says the following. I'm returning to line 26. The child asks, Manishtana, Achi Yashiv Lem, V'yomar Lekach Lekach Yira Kach Lekach Haya. V'keitzad Meshane. Now the Rambam here takes the three places within Masechet Pesachim where the concept of Yishaluah Tinokot appears. And there are really three models, three prototypes of how to raise curiosity by everybody, but especially by children. The first one is Keitzad Meshane, Mechalek Lem Klayot Ve'egozim. It's called Candy. Candyman and Shul is a very important institution. Children go to Shul because candy is given out. Chocolate is very good too at a Seder table. Let me add that adults too it works. Just again, the price is higher, that's all. And I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Rambam and the introduction to Perek Chelek discusses it. The older you get, the higher the price goes. I mean, you have to offer covenant, more money for an adult to do something, but it works in all human beings. If there's a prize, there's a salary. That's one way. If the child knows that candy is given out, he comes. He'll come to the table. B. Rambam says, Okrin ha-shulchan mi-lifneem kodem she-yokhlu. This is called to make things different than usual. I will share with you, I'm sure you experienced it, that you have experienced it. We adults get used to the world. So we're less curious. When you go with a little child in a car, take him on a trip someplace, and he looks out of the window and everything is new to him, he doesn't stop asking questions. And sometimes we lose our patience, but it's like, really, you should be happy about it and answer. You re-enjoy it with them, you re-experience with them. Meaning, make things different, they become curious. If something is different, people ask. And the third one is also a very important method. V'chotfin matzah zeh miyad zeh. What's called today to steal the afikoman, Rambam says it's chotfin matzah zeh miyad zeh. In other words, games, or in Hebrew they call it today afalot. You know, you have all these tricks, you know, and children participate in that. Play a game around the table. They stay because it's interesting. Who's going to win? It's competition, etc., etc. And since there are many more ways, Rambam says, "V'chayotze b'dvarim ha'el," you could do something else. And there's a very tall joke about a brisker who very much wanted his child to become this Rambam. So they say that after Purim, he locked him in the house and then sent him to Gan, so the Ganenet would not teach him Manishtana. And he made sure he won't know anything about Pesach before the Seder night. So at the Seder night, you could explain to him, he would do something strange. The child would say Manishtana. And the Seder comes, and he does all three things in the Rambam. The child doesn't ask anything. Then the Rambam says, Chayotze b'dvarim ma'el. He stares at his head. He starts making funny faces. The kid doesn't ask anything. His wife saw that he's really in distress. So she turned to the child. She said, look, you don't see Abba's doing strange things. You don't want to ask him anything about it? So the kid smiles and he says, look, Abba does strange things all the time. But this is what we should do. And what I would sum up is that Manishtana goes together with Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot V'Yishalu. And it's part of a pedagogical idea that in order to make our children part of the Seder table, in order to encourage them to participate, we're looking for different ways to bring them to the table, and Shinui is one of them. There's only one thing which I'm very much bothered by, perhaps you will be too, that if we look at the questions of Manishtana, and we look at the different halachic institutions that are reflected, which are related to Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot, they are not synonymous, they're not the same, besides one. The question of the Tibul, which is the second question on the Karpas, in the Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Yud Daled, in some of the variants, some not, is explained that Karpas is Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot. But we don't see any place in the Gemara that Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot read Matzah. When you read Matzah, Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot. Can you imagine that? So it's not so clear to link the two together. Meaning, Maror is not Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot, Haseva is not Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot. So even though none of you protested before, when I link together, I told you it's not good to be passive, right? When I link together the Yishalu Atinokot and the Shinui, and the Rambam clearly linked them together. Because the Rambam says, I'm going back, צריך לעשות שינוי בלילה הזה כדי שיראו הבנים וישאלו ויאמרו מה נשתנה. So they do go together, but you feel that eventually מה נשתנה has more in it than only כדי שישאלו את התינוקות. מה נשתנה doesn't only say look what's strange, מה נשתנה does something else. It points out the essence of the night. Another story, when I was a child, not so young already, I think I was 12, something like that, I asked one of the questions, a question about something which is done Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot. I don't remember what it was, if taking away the Seder play or something else which is a tribute to it. But I asked it, and I can tell you what the answer I got was. I was told the reason we're doing it is Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot. I can tell you what happened, at least to me. I'm very sensitive. My older brothers made fun of me, that I'm a tinok who asked questions. You know what my lesson from that Seder was? Don't ask too many questions. You know, perhaps they'll make fun of you. And I really, truly think, and I'll try to explain it later, that the last answer you have to give a child is, I'm doing it, they shishalu atinokot. The shishalu atinokot is only a method for him to ask. But even look at the Rambam. Rambam doesn't say, צריך לעשות שינוי בלילה הזה, כשיעור הבנים ישאלו ואומרו מה נשתנה הלילה הזה, ועד שישיב להם יאמר להם כדי שתשאלו. The Rambam says very clearly, we want to encourage them to ask, so what can we tell them about Yitziat Mitzrayim? At least I can give you an example of the way I tried to do it at my table. A few years ago, my boy, then it was 4 years old, he saw me bring a kittel at the Seder night, and the Nitziv says that's Kadesh Yishalu Atinokot. And he he said to me, Abba, why are you wearing a doctor's robe at the singing table? I was born today. And instead of telling him, you know? So I said to him, no, you have to realize that tonight's a very special night, and I'm dressed up like Yotzei Mitzrayim, and I feel like I'm a Mitzrayim. Kishloti no kod is only a springboard. That's not the content. Yes, please.
To encourage children to ask questions, you can also respond by saying, that's a good question.
True. That's true. But I can tell you at least what happened to me. Telling me to Shishaloti no kod was telling me it's a stupid question. So what you really should do is say it's a good question, really very nice. You can give him a piece of candy, okay? I mean, you can do all the tricks. But eventually, the Rambam very clearly linked Manish Tana to Kadei Shishaloti no kod V'Yishalu, very clearly. On the other hand, I'm summarizing the question that I asked. It's very clear that Manish Tana explores way beyond only Kishishalot Tinokot. And it really talks about the essence of the night. And B, I will add, that the idea of Kishishalot Tinokot, if you try to follow which parts of the Seder are explained by Kishishalot Tinokot, you will notice that it enhances over generations. It starts in the Gemara with that story of Abaye and Rabba. But Karpas, I told you, depends upon different variants of the Gemara. In Rishonim, we already find more parts of the Seder which are not explained in the Gemara, Kedeshishulat Tinokot. But they are, like Mitzilat Yadayim, someone explained. The Kittel I quoted by the Netziv. I mean, there's something which we have to try to explore to understand what's lying behind this idea enhancing. And with your permission, I will put these questions aside. Yes, please, over Frank.
How are you assuming that? What are you assuming is the right translation of the word "ma"?
What do you think?
Is "manishtan" an exclamation or a question? Does it mean how is it different or
how different?
How different it is? Or what are you assuming?
Well, I would say the tone of "manishtan" really depends upon what I discussed before. Who says "manishtan"? If Manish Tana is said by a child, so I would assume it's what's going on here. Okay, but if the father is explaining through Manish Tana, I assume that it's how. Meaning not what is different. Pay attention. Look, this night is special. Look at the bread is different, the vegetables are different, the meat is different, everything is different. Now, with your permission, I will put aside those questions. But I want to do something very simple. I want to try to check on the variants of the Mishnah. What are the questions of Manish Tana? So all of us are used to having four. All of us know them by heart. And we have the song in Yiddish. And Tate, Frekashes, right? We all know it's four. But if you look in the Mishnah, you will see that while the Tfusim of the Talmud HaBavli, we have all four. If you go to the variants of the Mishnah, I downloaded them from the internet, you can see that there are only three questions, and they are different than those that we have. At least one of them is different, and two of them, and one of them is missing. With your permission, I'll read out of the Parma manuscript. I also typed it out. What are the questions of Manish Tana? The first question is, Shebuchah Lelot, it's line 50. Anu matbilim apam achat. Halayla hazeh, shtei pamim. What did we say? We're familiar with this question. Shuhalot ein anu matbilin afilu pam achat. Halayla hazeh, shtei pamim. Here it's a little different. Second question. Shuhalot anu ochlim chametu matzah. Halayla hazeh, kulo matzah. Third question. Shuhalot anu ochlim basal tzali shaluku mevushal. Halayla hazeh, kulo tzali. There are three questions here. We do not have a question on... Yes, please.
Isn't there also a problem that most of these things haven't happened yet? So how could the questions refer to something that shocks the child that he hasn't seen it?
Right. That's another well-asked question. I can tell you that there are two answers that I know. Perhaps three, okay? One is the Ganeni taught him the questions. It's a very good answer, I think. B is very well-quoted, the name of Rashi. In the time of Bayit Sheni, the order of the Seder was reversed. They would first eat Korban Pesach, and then they would eat Saper B'Tziyat Mitzrayim. So the child is asking what he has seen. And the third, I told you before, is that the father says these, not the child. What did the child ask according to the Rambam only? What's going on here? That's all. We're not expecting more from him. Who explains to him through the Man Ishtana what's special. The father. Those are the three answers that I know to that question. But we have over here not fair kashas, only dry kashas, only three questions. And one is a little different. I want to ask you a question which I ask many audiences. What is the answer to the question Man Ishtana? So, Ben Frank, if you said Man Ishtana as an explanation, you don't really have to answer it, right? But where is the answer to Man Ishtana? So, who said Avadim? Rabbi Gardner said Avadim Ayinu. Oh, thank you. You're ruining my share again. Okay. But who said Avadim Ayinu? I want to give him a chocolate, okay? Who said that? You did. Thank you. I knew why I brought you to the share. Yeah. Most people answer Avadim Ayinu.
What answer
is? The answer is. What is the answer? Why is that the answer most people give? For a simple reason. That's what comes in this text of the Seder right after Manishtam. But tell me, how does Avadim Ayinu explain everything? Well, it does. You know, it's really impressive that four questions get one answer, you know? You know, it's a very known thing in Ever Klein Brisker that he once explained the Tosefta in Trumot brings five different symbols of a shote. It's machloket in Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, Gemara in Chagiga Daf Gimel. Do you need all five, or perhaps one of them is sufficient? And the Gemara explains why all five. So the Gemara says, because if he has only one, maybe he's not a shote. Maybe there's something special that explains why he behaved that way. If he has a second one, maybe he's not a shote. Maybe something special happened. If he has all five, he's a shote. So Reb Chaim said, if he has all five, maybe all five special things happen to him simultaneously. So Reb Chaim said, from here we see that if you can answer four questions with one answer, or four questions with four answers, what are you better off?
One answer.
Which in the philosophy of science is called the simplicity of the answer, is an advantage to choose an answer. So we have one answer to four questions, but I'm not satisfied with that. I will soon return to Rabbi Gardner. But I will summarize Man Ishtana in the Mishnah. It's three questions. And the first question is not Ein Anu Matbilin Afilu Pam Achad, but Anu Metablin Pam Achad. In other words, we're not asking on the fact that we are doing a tibul, that we're dipping. What are we asking about? The second tibul. Right? Where the Gardner has said, what are basically the questions of Man Ishtana in the Mishnah? His second tibul is Malo, Matzah, and the Basar is what? Pesach. Basically, the questions of Man Ishtana in the Mishnah are Pesach, Matzah, Umalo. When the order is the order they are chronologically at the Seder, because we have first the first Tibul, then Matzah, and then Pesach. And Rabbi Gardner has said, rightfully so, where are the answers to these three questions? It's against Reb Chaim. You have three answers. Rabbi Gamliel, Pesach al Shuma, Matzah al Shuma, Mavo al Shuma. Those are the answers to Man Ishtana. Basically, what is Man Ishtana reflecting at? What is unique at this night? What's unique is the mitzvot of the night. The mitzvot achila of the night, which are Pesach, Matzah, Maror. We do not point out to Man Ishtana that there's something strange about the night. The mitzvot are unique, but they're not strange. And in order to understand this, I would like to explore with you shortly to leave Masechet Pesachim, to transfer to Masechet Brachot, and then read with you one of the best commentaries I ever read on Perek Alvei Pesachim. And we have to just reconstruct slightly the structure of meals at the time of Chazal. Anyway, transfer shortly to Masechet Brachot, the third page. In Tosefta Brachot, we can reconstruct more or less how a meal was at the time of Chazal. The Tosefta says the following: Keitzad Seder Suda. Orchim nichnasim v'yoshvim al safsalim v'algavei katedraot ad sheyitkantzu. We all know that you set a time for something and you need a reception before because people don't come on time. At least Israelis don't come on time. This is more or less called the Shmorgenburger. So people come in and by them to sit on a bench is like today to eat when you're standing. Just to walk around the room. You don't sit around together. And the Tosefta says, "Nitkansu kulam nafulem layadaim, kol echad vechad notel yado achat, mazgulem takos kol echad vechad mevarech latzmo." Why do they have to wash their hands? Because they eat with their hands. No forks and knives. They eat with their hands. And the smorgasbord, with how many hands do you eat? With one. You take the dip, you know, you take the egg roll, whatever they give out, you know. So one hand, and they have a kos over here, mazgulem etakos. Kol echad v'echad mevarech latzmo. Why? Because there's no chabura yet. There's no kviyut tzuda. They're not a group. Heviu lifneim par peraot. Kol echad v'echad mevarech latzmo. What are the par peraot? Those first dishes, appetizers, which are apparently there are waiters walking around the tables where you take. And again, since they're not a group yet, kol echad v'echad mevarech latzmo. Alu ve'seivu. Now they go into the dinner table, which at their times is haseiva. Natnu lehem layadayim. Now they wash their hands again. Af al pi shenatal yado achat, notel shtei yadav. Why shtei yadayim now? Because now you eat with both hands, right? Mazgul lehem takos, another kos. Af al pi sheberech al harishon, berech al hasheni, because it's a new meal. Heviu lifneim par peraot. Af al pi sheberech al harishona, mevarech al hashniya. V'echad mevarech lechulan. Why echad mevarech lechulan? Because now they're a chabura, they're a group. And if we leave the Tosefta, go to Mishnah Brachot. The Mishnah Brachot describes Berach al hayayin shelifnei hamazon, patar et hayayin shelachar hamazon, Berach al haparperet shelifnei hamazon, patar et haparperet shelachar hamazon. Next Mishnah, hayu shvil lechol, just like the Tosefta, kol echad v'echad mevarech la'atzmo. Heisevu echad mevarech lechulan, balem yayin b'toch hamazon, kol echad v'echad mevarech la'atzmo, lachar hamazon, echad mevarech lechulan. If you put these together, you can see there are many components of the meal which we are not so familiar with, but they are described on a Masechet Pesachim, Masechet Brachot, and that is, they have at least three cups of wine here. His yayin b'fnei hamazon, his yayin b'toch hamazon, his yayin lachar hamazon, his haseiva over here. It's an ordinary meal, it's not Pesach night. Haseiva, there are two nitilot yadayim. The Seder night resemble these very much. They're a central part of the Seder. When one of the best commentaries that I know on our Veb Sachim was written by a guy by the name Jerome Carcopino, Daily Life in Ancient Rome. Unfortunately, on the internet, I can only find it typed in Hebrew. So I felt strange in an English lecture to bring a Hebrew text, which is written originally in French and translated into English. But the pages I brought in Hebrew, take it home. But the book is in Google Books. But it's protected by copyrights. I couldn't save it. I couldn't even print it. So I'll read from the screen, okay? You can read the Hebrew, follow the translation, okay? The Carcopino describes the following. Apart from such historic monsters as Vitellius and Nero, who sat down to the table at noon, the hour of dinner was approximately the same for all. After the bath, that is to say, at the end of the eighth hour in winter and of the ninth in the summer. Erev Pesachim, what does the Mishnah say? Lo yuchal adam ad shetechshach. Now the Gemara explains that the reason is sheikanes lechol matzah b'teavon. And clearly the reason is the matzah. I think based upon this knowledge, and you can show it from sources in Chazal too, that the average hour the meal began was samuch lamincha. The ninth hour is samuch lamincha. What is the Mishnah here saying? Don't sit down to eat at the average hour of the meal. When should you eat? Only at night, because it's a Seder table. Meaning it does resemble the habits of meals. It's a meal. On the other hand, the Mishnah makes a point, it's a night with mitzvot. I would add more than that. Whoever here learned Brachot Daf Bet knows. When would the poor eat their meals? The Gemara in Brachot Daf Bet, when it tries to suggest, when is Sof Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Arvit? So what does the Gemara say? One opinion is, the poor had no money for light. They would try to use, say we're transferring to daylight savings time. Today were the first daylight savings times that are the poor of the time of Chazal, no electricity. So the Ani would eat at the end of the day. Now one of the ideas of the first Mishnah here in our Veb Sachim is that Kulanu Bnei Chorin, the Ani should be Israel, has to eat a meal like the rich. So the Mishnah makes a point, you don't eat the meal at the hour that usually people start to eat the meal. That's the first type of the Mishnah. And he continues, I'm skipping a little. He describes how long the meal was. It was very long. You can read it later. He says the following. Whatever the length of the dinner, well-to-do people, always served it in a special room in their house or flat, the triclinium, whose length was twice its breadth. Who of you was at Tzipori for a trip? Yeah. You remember the Beit HaMidot there? Remember they have there the so-called monoliths of the sufferers? That is a triclinium. It's a room which its length is twice the size of its width. And I don't know if you noticed, at the sides of the monolith, do you have a marker here, Baruch? I'll manage without it. That's okay, Baruch. It's okay. If you, next time you go there, you can notice that it goes like this, then it goes in, and the monolith is over here.
There's a marker on the floor.
There's a marker on the floor. Thank you. Okay. Great. It goes like this. Okay, this is full of pagan symbols and an amazing, amazing mosaic. The Mona Lisa's over here, and everybody comes and looks here. And over here, it's white, and you have these marks over here. You know why it's white? When I was there last year with my students, I told them, look at this. Because you know why it's white? Over here they have the couches. And why is it called triclinium? Which number hides there? 3. And why 3 and not 4? For a simple reason. Why do you need one part open? To bring the food. The mysterious people in Perikar Vei Psachim, Heviu Lefanav, Mazgul Lefanav, those mysterious people nobody thinks of. The Gemara will call the Shamash, the slaves. So they need room to bring the food to the rich people sitting. This is the triclinium. I'm returning to Karkopino. Whoever of you have learned Psachim Kufchet, we'll see now a very nice perush to the Gemara. The dining room took its name from the couches with 3 reclining places, each on which the guests reposed. This is an important detail of procedure to which we should have difficulty adapting ourselves, and we're nearer to the Oriental custom of using cushions and divans than to our practice. The reason we have difficulty doing a seder is very simple. It's like trying to sleep the night and I'll fly in your economy, not business. No, I never flew business. I don't know what it's like. I was told it's really comfortable. It is? Yeah, thank you. But I can tell you, we try to lie down on a chair. It's really not comfortable. I mean, you do a seder on a chair. It's really not comfortable. And that's why a seder is strange for us. Because we sit in chairs. But they used to lie down. Also, I think what's behind it, he describes it, because they didn't want their stomach to be all, you know, kvetching, you know, as we say in Yiddish. They would lie down comfortably, and he describes it here. Nothing would have induced the Romans of the Empire to eat otherwise. They considered the reclining position indispensable to their physical comfort. It's also a mark of elegance and social distinction. In the old days, it was good enough for a woman to eat seated at her husband's feet. The Gemara in Kufchet says, should the woman do aseiva? So what does the Gemara say? She's patur, but now, I'm reading Karkopina, I'm sorry. Now that the Roman matron took her place beside the man on the triclinia, to eat sitting was suitable only for children who sat on stools in front of their parents' couches. They treated children a little different than today. Today we have guests and we have to bring up some plastic chairs. I get the plastic chair. My children get the more comfortable. Every time we have a guest, that happens. And I let them do it, so. But this is Mamash the Gemara, Barisha Hashuva. And he continues, or for slaves. Anybody remember that Gemara? Shamash Mesev, Eved Lifnei Rabo, Ben Lifnei Aviv. It's all here. For village rustics or provincials from distant Gaul, with passing customers, I mean, the taverns, they sat in a chair. Whether or not they had done, etc. And I'll skip a little, okay? Because I don't want to finish too late, okay? After he describes the different couches and who sat by who, he says the following. An usher announced the guests and showed them to their couch and place. Several waiters, those are the mysterious, Heviu Lefanav, Mazgu Lefanav, brought in the dishes and the bowls and placed them on the tables. And now he says the following. The guests were provided with knives and toothpicks and spoons of various shapes. And he continues, the Romans knew no more of forks than the Arabs of today, or the Europeans at the beginning of modern times. Let me add my 9-year-old son. Johnson never heard it before. They ate with their fingers, and this entailed frequent hand washings. Lot netilot yadayim, before the meal began and after each course. Slaves, now how do they have a faucet next to their... So it says, slaves went round the couches with urim and poured fresh perfumed water over the diner's hands, wiping them with a towel they carried over their arm. Each guest was provided with a napkin for his personal use, etc., etc., etc. And then he describes how many courses, all the parperaot. You take the Seder and you put it next to the Mishnah and Brachot and next to Karkopino and next to Manishtana, the way we say it today, you realize something very essential. The Seder night is a festival night, not a strange night. Even those components of the Seder, which in Manishtana we say they're special, they're unique, like Haseva or Tibulim, when you learn Mishnayot Brachot and you ask, how did Chazal eat a meal? You get the clear impression that when Chazal ate a meal all year round that way. What Chazal really did at the Seder is they did not create a strange night or a night with strange habits, those described by the Manishtana we are used to. They did something else. Chazal wanted to create, and let me add, that in my opinion, we don't know what happened during Bayit Sheni to those who did not go to Yerushalayim for Korban Pesach. What did they do? They had a Seder like we had. I don't know of any source describing it. But I do know that the Seder, as it's formulated, it fits your living room, your dining room, those with the high, heavy chairs. It's a festival night, and what Chazal did is they formulated the Seder night to be done through a meal. And that's for two very simple reasons. One is that the central mitzvot of Pesach are mitzvot of eating. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And B, a meal, before I describe how you reach people through their stomach, cook a good meal and everybody will be happy. A meal also creates conversation. People meet each other. They converse when they sit around something mutual. Couples, when they date or when they want to go out, they also go to a restaurant. Because that creates an atmosphere. And Chazal, what they really created at the Seder night is to take a festival meal and to celebrate, to show our being Bnei Chorin, B'Mesaper B'Yitziat Mitzrayim, around the table, the way people at those times ate festival meals. And that is the essence of the Seder. And the only unique thing there is Pesach, Matzah, L'Maror. Because the Seder night is a night of mitzvot. And even though I'm trying to point out to you that the Seder table is a festival meal, and the first Mishnah in Pesachim says, everybody has to have a festival meal because everybody's a Ben Chorin, even the poor, who regularly don't eat this way. Halayla azeh kulanu Bnei Chorin. On the other hand, it would seem that Chazal also were aware of the fundamental difference of the content. And that goes to the end of the Roman meal here, which our Seder ends very, very differently. I'll try to find the page in English, okay? This morning. Loading, okay? They ended in a way no Jew should end his Seder. Reb Shaul Lieberman, in Yerushalmi Kipshuto, one of the last pages of the book, he explains over there the phrase of Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman. Afikoman is a Greek word, apikomin, which was at the end of the meals. I'll read you the description from Karkopino. It's page in the English edition 271. What they would do at the end of the meal. What was the atmosphere at their meals? Not a kedusha, not an atmosphere that a Jew wants to create at a Seder table. Something very different. For some reason, doesn't come up. A moment. So shall I read it from the Hebrew?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read it from the Hebrew, okay? It's from line 171 on. The Hebrew doesn't sound good in English, I know. And he describes later on, line 175. או ריקודים חושניים בקצר הקסטנטינות, הם יצאו לנערות ספרד מוניטין. I want to read this, okay? And the end he says, נגמרה על פי רוב באורגיה, באוגבר חוסר הצניעות, ידי גדולי חוסר הבושה שלא יאמנו. שאין מפתירין אחר הפסח אפיקומן says, we are part of human culture. We don't eat differently than other people, but we don't have the same culture as other people. And ein maftirin achar ha-pesach ha-fikoman. On the one hand says, we are aware that the structure of the meal is a festival meal by the categories of our time, of human beings as they are human beings, but we don't share that there are fikoman. This is the night of mitzvot. B'layla hazeh kadosh b'chu pada otanu mi mitzrayim. The Seder night, in the eyes of Chazal, is not a strange night. It's a special night. It's a festival night. That's what the Seder night is. So how did Manishtana change its nusach? And how did it derive and what it derived? I'll explain it shortly. I see the hour is late. This is all appears in a Gemara in Pesachim on the Mishnah of Manishtana. Let's go back to the second page, the line 869. The Gemara quotes Manishtana, and the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rava, Atu kol yoma lasagya delama tablin al chadzina. Rava says, how can I say when I don't do that even call it out? And therefore, what does Rabbi say? We have to correct the nusach of Manishtana. What's behind this? Something very essential to the Seder, which eventually will reflect in the Manishtana as we say it. As I said before, the Seder was formulated to be a festival night when the idea of how do you celebrate, how do you make a festive meal, if it's from the habits of the culture that Chazal lived in, the Greco-Roman culture. But we have to realize, in the time of Chazal, when you do a seva, when you do a tibul, you don't do it because it says in Shulchan Aruch to do it, you do it because it's a meal, it's a festival meal. And in Mishnah and Pesachim, the Karpas is really the since the Mishnah and Arvei Pesachim does not give only the laws, the halachot of the Seder night, but it describes the night, it describes the mitzvot of the night together with the meal components of the night. And that's how we have in the Mishnah and Pesachim Hevi'u lefanav. It doesn't say what, because what is originally the Karpas? What Hevi'u lefanav? It's the first course. So now what first course do you have to eat? There's no halacha, you have to eat gefilte fish. You want to eat this, eat that. You can eat what you want. The second hava is Hevi'u lefanav matzah u'maror v'charoset. This is the second hava. This is what's unique about the Seder night. And what is that? The mitzvot. And since the charoset is machlokes, if it's a mitzvah or not, it really should not belong to this hava. And therefore the Mishnah says, charoset af al pi she'ina mitzvah. In the Seder night, originally, it's a meal with Sipur Yitziyat Mitzrayim and Mitzvot Achila. That's the original Seder. And what happened is that over generations, Jews lived in different places which had different meal habits, and different cultural habits, different eating habits. And Rava is the first one which faced this dilemma. Rava doesn't live in the Greco-Roman culture. Rava lives in Bavel, more Oriental culture. And they didn't have tibulim. All year round they didn't have it. But the Mishnah says you do a tibul. And here the truth is, we reached a crossroad which we did not necessarily have to choose. One path, another path exists. And in a similar dilemma, some Rishonim have chosen that path. One or two things could have been said. You could have said, so don't do it. Meaning if the Mishnah described Hevi'u lefanav, the so-called karpas, because that's the first course of the meal, you don't have to eat it. And one of the Rishonim said something very similar about Haseiva. The Ravan, one of the Balei HaTosafot in Germany, the 12th century, says, Bazman HaZeh, don't do Haseiva. Because what is the idea of the Seder? The idea of the Seder is to eat as a Ben Chorin. Bazman HaZeh is a Yekim. In Germany, can you imagine somebody not sitting properly by the table? So the Ravan says, Bazman HaZeh, sit by the table, very, you know, still, that's a Ben Chorin. And that sack of the Ravan eventually reached women. We talked about women before, because mitzad echad, isha hashuva tasev, kol hanashim shalanu hashuvot. But the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch says the nashim hachashuvot can be take the Ravan and not be meisev if they don't want to. But that could have been said, meaning the Tibul HaRishon, Rava could have said, don't do it. But Rava chose a different path, and that I think is Derech HaMelech, not only by the Seder night, but it's Derech HaMelech by tradition in general. Rava said, let's do a Tibul, because the Mishnah said so. And you have to realize that if you do the Tibul because the Mishnah says so, not because it's the first course, it becomes a halachic category, it becomes part of tradition. I mean, in the time of the Tanaim, you ate the first Tibul because that was your first course. But in Rav already does the Tibul Rishon, not as the first course, but as part of Jewish tradition, as part of the structure of the Seder. And therefore, Rav did two things. A, he had to make sure that the Nusach of Manishtana fits, reflects the way he does the first Tibul, and therefore Rava changed the Nusach of Manishtana. It's this Gemara from B'chayelot Anu Metablin Pam Achat to B'chayelot Ein Anu Metbilin Afilu Pam Achat Halayla Azeh Shtei Pamim. And in that Rava changed the question. The question is not on the Maror anymore. That was the original question. What's the question now? On the Tibul itself. And therefore we won't be surprised that at the time of Gaonim they would add a question on the Maror. Shukhar Elot Anu Ochlim Sha'av Yerakot Alayla Azeh Maror. On the other hand, not only Rava made sure to make the Nusach of Manishtana reflect the way he does the Tibul, but the Gemara and Kuf Yudal Amud Bet will have to explain, so why do it? And here we see how a component of the meal, which was part of the meal because people eat meal as human beings because you want an appetizer because it's pleasant to you to eat, became a halachic category. And here there's more than one path how to explain this halachic category. On the one hand, I told you in the Nusach of the Gemara, in the Tfus today, it appears, that's Kadesh Yishaluach Tinokot. And here is the answer to what I said before. The concept of Kadesh Yishaluach Tinokot enlarges, enhances from generation to generation, because more and more parts of the meal became not familiar from culture, but only from tradition. And therefore the idea of the Shishalot Tinokot, until we reach the Rambam, that you have to make the whole night strange in order, it's a halachic obligation, it's rooted in the wanting to retain these parts of the Seder, which became part of tradition, they became halachic requirements, on the one hand. On the other hand, other explanations were possible, like, for example, the Karpas was explained that we have a real halachic problem about what's the bracha on the maror. On the one hand, you have to realize maror is a very strange mitzvah. Rishonim asked, you really can't eat it. It's lo roi la'achila. So how can you make a bracha on it? How can you say borei pri adama in maror? And it's true that the commandment in the Torah is not to eat maror separately. It's to eat maror together with the basar. The Orach Chaim says, like eating ketchup or eating harif in your falafel. That makes sense, but maror alone? And Rishonim were bothered by this. Some say the Hamotzi Lachim in the Haaretz is poter the maror, but others say it's not really part of the meal. And therefore, Rishonim Ashkenaz explained the Karpas not based upon Kadesh Yishaluach Tinokot, but you make a bracha and a Borei Pri Adama, beginning of the meal, to be the Borei Pri Adama of the maror. But it's the same, I would say, it's the same phenomena. Meaning the Leila Seder was not formulated as a strange night, but as a festival night. But the parts of the Seder which were part of it, because Chazal's basic idea was, let's make a festival gathering of the family around the meal, like Bnei Chorin, and eat the mitzvot, and make a conversation about Yitziat Mitzrayim, a night of Kedusha, with no afikoman, and maftir in Achar Pesach afikoman. During generations, it became the traditional way of celebration, and the derech of tradition is, that with part of tradition, has the vitality, it has the life to re-explain itself, to be meaningful to all generations. And to some extent, this idea is reflected in Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim too. The halacha, b'chol dov ado chayav adam l'ot atzmo keli atzma mitzrayim, the Rav Anisha Halacha suggests
should not be explained that I have to imagine as if I lived 3,800 years ago when I was in Egypt. I live today. I want a significant religious experience which matches myself as a modern person. What it means is that I have to realize that the idea of Pesach has an impact upon myself as I am today. Not to imagine on somebody else, but it has significance today. Tradition is something which is relevant to us today. And this portrayal of the Seder night, I think, very clearly, I think, examples this. Exemplifies it. Thank you. I miss words. Okay, thank you. And that is that the Torah, Shebaal Peh, is some parts of it are formulated by Chazal in a certain time and culture, but they're vital, that they're relevant for all generations, not because halakha is stoned, because halakha is frozen, but because halakha is the ability to explain itself, to be relevant to all generations. And I want to wish upon all of ourselves, we should have a meaningful Seder, that our children will be curious, that they'll be by the table, and that we will all reflect upon the meaning of Yitzrayim, its relevance to ourselves today, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Medinat Yisrael, Tavshin Samach Tev. Hal Kasher V'Sameach. I want to ask a question about next Shiur, if I can. It will be on the Thursday before Yom HaAtzmaut. Now, I want to ask, do you want me to discuss with you the philosophy of my grandfather, Rav Soloveitchik, about Medinat Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael?
Yes,
please. You got it.